Let us turn to Acts chapter 18. And this chapter concerns Paul's ministry right now as the Holy Spirit directs him. Now he is going into, or rather he went into Corinth and Ephesus to preach the gospel. And as usual, which is a common sign for the Lord's servant and for God's people, as the gospel proceed from places to places, again, opposition, difficulties, affliction, not only to the servants of God, those who preach, but also those who were believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we see that the gospel here continue under the divine direction of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, those of us who are in Christ, let us be comforted and to know that as we pray for the preachers and those who are preaching the word of God and proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be assured that God will surely hear our prayers and the gospel will indeed continue, even though, as I said before, particularly in this country and many other Western countries, there is this great decline and declension morally and spiritually, but yet you can be assured in every places the Lord has his people, just as the Lord encouraged Paul and says, "For I have much people in this city," in verse 10, which of course actually referring to those who were Christians, and that, and even so-called prophesying that there will be many believers that will come to believe under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And this morning I would like to direct your attention and speak to you from verse 27, and our subject is the believer's helper. The believer's helper. And this is a message, certainly, first of all, to those of us who are believers, who are Christians. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, Apollos that is, who, when he was come, when Apollos was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Apollos, this Jewish Christian believer, following Paul at Corinth, did useful service by confirming or strengthening those who had already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Apollos was going about encouraging or strengthening and confirming the faith of the believers. And our first heading here is, true believers have believed through grace. Secondly, we want to look at such believers. Those who have believed, they render help or encouragement to other believers or fellow believers. And thirdly, we want to look and consider that such a work for the believer to confirm or to strengthen the particularly the weaker brethren is a worthy work, and the Lord indeed will bless. And those who engage in such work to help fellow believers, to encourage fellow believers who have believed through grace, the Lord indeed have a blessing for them. Believers have believed through grace. Luke, who is the writer of the book of Acts, felt it necessary to insert in this chapter the word through grace. Those who had believed through grace. True Christian believers, and I'm sure this is nothing new for this congregation here. There is no doubt that salvation is the work of God and not of man, or the work of God in man by the grace of God. We have it under our hand and seal from the Holy Spirit that those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they came to believe through grace. Surely, grace is the front in all things for the Christian. And here, let me say, it is grace that gives us the gospel we believe. And so the hymn writer, you may be familiar with this hymn. This is the stanza that the hymn writer wrote. And he aptly put it this way. Grace first contrived the way to save rebellious man, and all the steps that grace displayed, which drew the wondrous plan. It was grace that chose the people whom God would save and gave them over to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was grace that gave Jesus Christ to stand in the room or in the place of sinner and bear for them that which was due to the justice of God on account of their sin. It was grace which led our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to undertake and carry through the work of substitution. Grace wrote the first letter of the gospel. Grace will write the last letter of it. Salvation is all of grace from first to last. Not of man, not of any good in us. I would to God that all preachers and hearers of the gospel knew the meaning of the word grace and did not confuse it. And I hope you are not confused, especially those of us who are in this congregation. You have been taught and instructed in the word of God, and you have been here for so many years, and we have, by the grace of God, been teaching you and confirming in you of your salvation is of grace. For indeed, it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that show mercy. If it be of grace, it is no more of works, and otherwise grace is no more grace. And if it be works, it is not of grace, otherwise work is no more work. By grace are ye saved through faith, that's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And I'm sure you are very familiar with this verse. Grace signifies that it is free, undeserved favor. And I must add, undeserved favor in the sight of condemnation. And as it comes to us from God, it is sovereign grace which is moved only by the good pleasure of God's holy will. Grace makes a distinction between man and man, and it must have all the glory of what it does. Grace is exercised according to the will of God and not according to the will of man. For the Lord has said it, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Romans 9:15. It is grace, the grace of God, that devised such a plan, the plan or the scheme of mercy, the plan of redemption, the method of peace through the blood. The whole dispensation of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God who came up with such a plan, such a scheme. So then, that while grace gives us the gospel to believe, we must also know this and be sure of this, that it is also grace that gives us to believe the gospel. We are personally to believe the gospel, yes, and so only can be saved, can we be saved. Man left to himself, is an unbeliever, and an unbeliever will he or she remain. There's no two way about it. You are either a believer or you are not. To meet the deep depravity of our sinful nature, and it's our settled unbelief To resolve this, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the gospel to be believed, and He also gives us the faith to believe the gospel through grace. Totally depraved men and women, boys and girls, can never come to receive the gospel except through the operation of grace, of the grace of God in the hearts of sinners, upon their conscience and upon their will. The faith which comes from God first came from God. However, it must be made clear that those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they do so of their own doing. They do so of their own responsibility and folly. And that the blame must be laid at their door, for they willfully refuse the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the believers, those of us who are united with the Lord Jesus, it was not to your credit or my credit that we came to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But it was God's grace that had made us submissive, willing, soften our hearts. And so all glory goes to God for your conversion and my conversion. It is the working of the Holy Spirit that unites our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the scripture says the Spirit what? Quickeneth, meaning to say made alive. We were all dead in our sin and our trespasses, and dead, and that man and that woman don't respond. I mean spiritually. They will not respond to anything spiritual. They will have no response to God in and of themselves or himself or herself. It is the Spirit that worketh in us. We can sort of illustrate it as, you know, in an emergency, you know of, that then you want to help someone who has just collapsed and fainted, you apply CPR, right? So, spiritually speaking, unless the Holy Spirit do that work, no one, boys and girls, the natural man, the natural woman, the natural boys and girls, will never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is grace that brought us the gospel, and it is also grace that will move us, the grace of God that moved us to make us submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, such believing is a sure evidence of grace. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you have grace, the grace of God in you. That's a sign. That's a good evidence. There is no surer proof of it than this. Where there is faith, there is grace. The one is inseparable fruit of the other. He that believeth in Him, or rather he that believeth on Him, have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, says the scripture. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It is the believing that believers have peace with God. Furthermore, if you believe through grace, that grace which made you believe is the best guarantee or the best evidence that you shall keep on believing. Faith, which is born of self, will die. Die of self. But that which is the child of grace will live forever. God's grace will continue our believing. The Holy Spirit will continue to do that work. And you will abide in this faith, wherein you shall stand even to the very end. What God has given, created, introduced, and established in the hearts of sinners, He, God, will maintain there. Every plant which my Heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15:12. What God has planted, none shall root. It is, for it is written, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Where is this text found? Isaiah. Isaiah 27, verse 3. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it day and night. May grace, the grace of God, continue to work in us through believing. We move on now to our second heading, and that is, believers who believe through grace need help. Believers who believe through grace need help. And even for the mature Christians, we all need help. There are times of discouragement, there are times when we are downcast, there are times that we are troubled. Not just for the young converts, those who came to know Jesus Christ, but also for the believers. And we are told here in the text that Apollos helped them much, which had believed through grace. In what respect do those who have grace help? In what ways you and I, as true believers, can be of help to other fellow believers, and particularly to those who are young in faith? Many believers need help, firstly, in further instruction. So we, those of us who are mature Christian, we can be of much help and much encouragement to those other Christians, particularly the younger ones, younger in faith, I mean. Further instruction from the Word of God. Young Christians cannot be supposed to know much when they first came to Christ, isn't it? But they come to be disciples, and that is to say, they come to be learners of the Word of God. They may know the three R's. What are the three R's? The ruin, the fall, that is, the redemption, and the regeneration. But even these three R's, this core doctrine of the Bible, they may not know it fully. They may know the elementary of it. And oftentimes they need someone to open up the scriptures and to expound to them more fully or more deeply, right, the analogy of faith, and to help them to compare spiritual things with spiritual so as to strengthen their faith. Brethren, you may be of great help to new converts if you will teach them. No other things. If you will teach them the way of the Lord more perfectly. As we see in verse 26, and he, Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogues whom Aquila and Priscilla had heard. And then this couple very in Christian love and concern for Apollos, they open up the scripture to him more perfectly. The word more perfectly means fully. And so if there is any shortcomings in public ministry through the pulpit, then private Christians, individual Christians, may on their own try to make it up to help the other believers, instructing them. For ignorance is the mother of superstition and also skepticism. The uninstructed are easily carried away with novelties and delusion. Those who are established in faith and know what they believe are generally steadfast. Besides helping the brethren or the weaker brethren or the younger Christians further instruction, believers can help by way of consolation. Consolation. There are many believers in Christ who are tempted to doubt. There are many believers who easily go into a state of despondency, discouragement, distress of mind. And it is a great blessing for the Christians themselves to be of consolation to fellow believers. Be like who? In the New Testament. Who is called or given the title the Son of Consolation? Barnabas. Be like Barnabas. He is called the Son of Consolation. Be not slack in this blessed service. Those who are matured in faith ought to put forth your best endeavors to minister to the wicked brethren. Pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel wherever there is a wounding gap and bleeding. A word fitly spoken, a promise timely quoted from the scripture may help much those who have believed through grace. Apollos here helped the early Christian much by defending them against false teaching, by defending them against false teachers. We find that he mightily convinced the Jews, verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures, you see, it is showing by the scriptures, not any other books, not human philosophy, not songs, not even hymns, but showing by scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And in doing so, he shielded believing Gentiles from many spiritual assault. So you see, brethren, you and I have important role to play. Do not belittle. I know there are Christians who think, well, I better not. You know, lest people think that I'm trying to show off all my Bible knowledge. No. You do not bother how people respond to your teaching them the Word of God. They are responsible for hearing and receiving. You are responsible for your teaching, sharing, and your consolation. As long as you know, and God knows your heart, that you are doing it out of love for the Lord Jesus to comfort a fellow, it doesn't matter what people think of you. As long as your conscience, Paul says, does not condemn you, therefore go and do it. Because you know in the church, there are believers and non-believers. This is the reality of a church. You can try changing church. You know, you think that that church is better, more Christian there. Go ahead. By the time you go there, after a while, it's the same thing, and then you have to go for another church. So therefore, brethren, follow the example of Apollos. Be of much help to the believers. And he also, Paul, disputed with all his might. He did this work of consolation not haphazardly, without zeal and fervor, half dead, but he did it with might. For he says here, the scripture, for he mightily, he did it with all his heart, for the Lord Jesus, for the glory of God, not for himself, not for his own fame, so that people will look at him and praise him for his being eloquent, because we are told here that he was, in verse 24, an eloquent man, mighty in the scripture. No, he did it with all his might for the sake of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the love of the saints. Nowadays, Christians need to go into the full armor of God so that they may be able to withstand in the evil days. Christians, believers, young or matured Christians or young converts, we are faced with many challenges, and particularly in our time. And therefore, we need to be of help and encouragement to one another. Believers who can stand fast should help those who cannot. You who are stronger ought to be are to bear the infirmities of the weaker brethren with a sympathetic heart. Older Christians can do much. How? In the way, by mentioning their own experience. Those of you who have been Christian for a long time and the Lord put you through the school of hard knocks, going through all the various trials and affliction, and from that experience, you can, as a older, and of course for this case, say older here, or mature Christian, referring to those who are old in age, as well as in faith, right, with so much of experience that the Lord put you through, the less spiritual lessons that you have learned, you can share this experience with the weaker brethren so as to help them. Tell the younger Christian how God has helped you, delivered you in all your trials. Tell them how God has answered your prayers. Can you not do that? Is it too difficult? Do you need to go to a seminary to be taught on all these things? No. It is very simply, in your own way, and relate your experience and tell them how the Lord has dealt with you and blessed you and answered your prayers and show compassion and mercy to you. Just by telling them this, you don't need deep theology. And tell them what joy and peace you have had in days of darkness, in days of trouble, how the Lord sent you peace and give you light. Tell them the way by which the Lord has led you. And when you do this, they will not be so lightly to be staggered and cast down. Look at verse 27 again. When he was come, help them much which had believed through grace. Elderly Christian can be of great help and encouragement. And I must add this, not only to young believers, but also to the ministers, to the pastors, or the younger pastors, or the younger preachers. And I'm glad we have in our congregation Pastor Poe, has been from time to time, has given me much encouragement by just telling me, you know, from my sermon, oh, you mentioned this point, you know, I was thinking of this. And so we have this mutual encouragement, even among ministers. And how much more for those who are older Christians to share this and to relate this, your experience, to the younger believers. Brethren, as Christian believers, we are commissioned by the Lord Jesus. As believers, if you are truly one, we are commissioned by the Lord to be eyes to the blind and feet to the lame and guides to wanderers. We should help the weak and give a brotherly or a sisterly word of advice to the inexperienced. Do you not think that there is a tendency among many Christians to despise the weak and to leave them to themselves? How are they to grow wiser, spiritually speaking, and more instructed if they have no help from fellow believers? Let it not be said, I never got much out of this church, but rather, say this, or ask yourself, what could I do for my fellow Christians who are in it? Ask yourself this. Do not say, there's nothing much I can get out of this church. But rather say, or ask, what could I do for my fellow Christians for Jesus' sake? Brethren, if you live for yourself, your object in life, your purpose in life is mean and unsatisfactory. In fact, if you live to yourself, you will die. But if you will learn to live and help the feeble and guide the doubtful, and to be a great heart for the Lord Jesus, you will live abundantly, for God will bless you. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 40, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you or ye have done it unto me. Brethren, let us join with Apollos in this blessed work of helping, confirming, strengthening those who have believed through grace. We help one another. By word and by example, may the Holy Spirit teach us to be the lower lights to the leaderships which are now making this very perilous voyage of life. Thirdly, believers helping those who believe through grace is engaged in a worthy work. And this is the third observation from this text. Helping those who have believed through grace is a work worthy of the highest talent and the greatest experience. And you can be assured, God has given us various gifts and talents. As much as God commissioned us to be guide or comfort, God will also provide us or give us the gifts to do that work. I would like to impress upon you, brethren, that you should engage in this work of helping others at once. Do not delay and keep doing it. Do not be discouraged. As I said, I know there are those who, I went to help this person and I opened my mouth to them and the person turned back and said, why? You know the scripture better than me. You are trying to be smart. Never mind. Never mind. If the person do that, move to the next one. Leave this person alone. But don't stop. Don't give it up. Remember, he or she who responded to you in that way, he or she is answerable to God. You are answerable to God for sharing, teaching, encouraging, consoling. Leave the person alone. It's okay. Don't worry. When the person do this to you, remember, they are not doing it to you. They are doing it to your Savior. Because you are doing the work of God. You are obeying God's word and God's commandment in being a helper. If the person rejected, fine. Move on. Move on. And so, the other way to do it, to engage in this work of helping others, what? Praying. Praying for fellow believers is commendable. It's good. It's good. But I would like to encourage you to go further. Follow the example of the Apostle Paul, Apollos. Be ready to help much to those who shall believe. And do like what? Do like Aquila and Priscilla to expound the way of the Word of God fully and particularly to the young believers. And therefore, it is important for those of us who go out or who do evangelism work, when the young convert believe, please do a follow-up. If you are unable to do it, then go to the church and ask another brother or sister to do the work. You cannot just leave the new convert to him or herself and just expecting him or her to just come to church every Sunday, and then they need a systematic follow-up of the Word of God, starting or beginning with the basic doctrine of the Bible in order to build them up. So remember, your work, you want to do the work of evangelism, it's not just going out there, give a tract, pray, and then the person believes, and then praise the Lord, bye. You have to do some work. And it is a serious work. You need to commit the time and the energy. So do not think that you are just going, and then that's it. I'm done. Praise the Lord. I managed to bring one convert to the Lord Jesus. Finish. It is a long time work to disciple someone. The person needs that. I just want to stress this because I know that many people who think that, Pastor, I went out. I shared the gospel and that's it. But that young convert is exposed to many spiritual danger and attack. And very easily he or she will just fall back and go back to the world. You need to follow up with a Bible study, or as I said, if you cannot do it and you cannot commit the time, then please pray and seek for someone who can do it. to follow up with the young convert. Because leaving the person to alone just like that and expecting he or she to just, to be fired up and then come to church every Sunday, and you are very happy to see him or her on Sunday and you are very satisfied, you are wrong. Soon, persecution comes, affliction comes, sickness comes, trouble comes, and especially when the person, the young convert, face trouble from believers in the church, they will be very astonished. Huh? I thought the person Christian, and then what? Say this, behave like that. They were just like, I better get out. This is not what, because they have no foundation in the understanding of the doctrine of the church. And so therefore, please do that. Okay, I want to move on very quickly. I've sidetracked a little bit already. And so if you may not be like Apollos, eloquent, speak very well. Never mind about that. If you can only be a stammer, hotting in your speech, then go on, hot. Stammer a little bit, but still continue. You may not be as eloquent like Apollos or even Paul to present the gospel. Yes, it is the gospel that God will bless, not your stammering or your orating. If you can write, and I know there are people who are very good in their writing, then write. Write a letter in the simplest word about Jesus. Go and do it. And the simplicity with which you write, while it looks like a weakness, really may really be a source of strength, fitting to the better use, or in the better use for God. So if you have a measure of natural ability, be it great or small, use it as the Lord has given it to you. But if you have not that ability, actually you can train yourself in one way to have this ability, which Apollos had. He was mighty in the scriptures. You see, now, all of us, is it not true that we can all study our Bible? If we believe in the Lord Jesus with all our hearts, we ought to have the Bible at our fingertips, so to speak, at least the core doctrine of the gospel, if not about end time and eschatology and what have you, but at least you have the core doctrine at your fingertips if you say that you are a believer. And so we may help many by our instruction from the Word of God in simplicity. When the Word of God dwells in the hearts of Christians richly, his speech or her speech edifies those who speak scripture. We sow the seed, and it is living and it is a growing seed, and whose harvest is salvation. It is God's Word, not your commands on God's Word, that save sinners. Keep on quoting the scripture, the inspired truth, and be yourself inspired by the Word of God, so as to explain it by your own experience, by your experiential faith. And in that way, you can be of much help, brethren. And then, look at verse 25 again, of this person, Apollos, being fervent in the Spirit. Being fervent in the Spirit, brethren. You will not do much unless you are like Apollos, fervent in the Spirit. And this doesn't come easy. But it is not impossible. How? Seek the Lord for it. Acknowledge, O Lord, I am not fervent in spirit. Therefore, may your Holy Spirit put that fervency in my heart. May you create in me a heart of fervency for the Lord. You see, he was a burning man, a man of fire, and he burned his way by his zeal, his through his whole soul, or he commit his whole soul into the preaching and teaching of God's word, fervent in the spirit. Brethren, if you are full of fire, fervent in the spirit, full of life, full of heart, you will be a great blessing to other believers for the glory of God. And so you may ask, as I said, this doesn't come easy, so you may ask, how can I have it? How can I get this warm of heart? The answer is very simple, but extremely difficult to live, or to have it. And that is to live in the presence of God. It requires much discipline, much hard work in a sense of spiritual work, of prayer, of the Word of God, and of learning to develop your experiential faith through what? Time of feasting and party and all that? No. Times of affliction, times of trial, times of discouragement, times of disappointment, times of pain, times of sickness. That's how you develop, and to have this, or to learn this, called live in the presence of the Lord. And let the Lord Jesus, through His Holy Spirit, who is the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world, shine upon you as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, and you will be fervent. But it takes time. It takes time. It takes a lot of patient growing. Beloved, the only answer to the question why a man or a woman in Christ is fervent in the Spirit is this, that he or she keeps his or her heart close, very close, very near to his or her personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. This, and that is the most fervent heart, which enjoy most the light of God. If you live in the light of God's countenance, you will be fervent. If you turn away from Him, you will grow cold. Let us beseech and plead God to create in us a heart of fervency, fervent in the Spirit. However, notice one more thing before we close. Apollos greatly helped those people because he preached Christ to them. No other gospel. Don't tell them your grandmother's story, as much my teachers during my younger days would tell me. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them from your own experience what Jesus has done for you. You see, notice one thing. He preached to them, for he mightily convinced the Jews that, and that publicly, showing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ. If you are going to help those who believe in, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore our conversation with them, our speech must be full of Christ. Must be the gospel. That's why Paul says, I preach no other gospel but Christ and Him crucified. Nothing will really feed the soul of a sinner but Jesus. His flesh is meat indeed. His blood is drink indeed. All else is froth or wind. There is no other food suitable for the soul except in Christ crucified. In Him alone there is every help that a soul can want. Are you burdened with sin, friends? Jesus bore it for you on the tree. Are you afraid that sin will conquer you? You shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Friends, trust in the atoning sacrifice alone and entirely, and you shall enter into a peace and joy which shall be the strength of your soul in your future spiritual battles. I need not say more, but I just want to press upon you, to those who know the Lord. Go, brethren, go out into the highways and byways and of course start within our church, help much those who have believed through grace. As for those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, may you come and trust Him. The moment you trust Him as your Savior, and you will be saved. Look unto me, says God, and ye shall be saved. All the ends of the earth, Isaiah 45:22. Look at once. Do not delay. Look at once. Look and live. There is life in a look at the crucified. The Lord Jesus, by His grace, constrain and enable you to give that look, and to Him be glory forever and ever. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, we thank Thee for Your word of life. O Heavenly Father, we ask for Your Holy Spirit to write Thy word upon our hearts and to increase our faith, our hope, and our trust in Thee. And that, Lord, You will give us much grace in this new week, that Thou will help us, that we may be of much help to those who have believed through grace. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.